I want to take a little side trip this morning before we get back on the Transfiguration. I want to talk about contentment. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6. We're taking a side trip.
Chapter 6 of what book?
1 Timothy. Talking about, and let's just start in verse 4. It's talking about those that teach another gospel. It says, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, wherewith cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now let's look at the same idea, but in Hebrews 13. Chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation or manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Now this idea of contentment, it's a note I wrote to myself some time ago, but it's to be free from care because of an inward certainty of your state of being in Him, in Christ. And it's a permanent state of mind. It's not something that you visit every once in a while. And so because of that contentment, there's a whole different manner of life than the world can give. And so, having food and shelter, therewith be content. But avoid covetousness. You must, in any way that you want things to change, there must be repentance instantly. Amen? All right.
I heard that, we've been talking about baseball this morning, and it was like, you read over here, and it was like God hit one out of Park, which is a thrill for baseball players or baseball crowd, but it was in, when it said from such withdraw thyself, supposedly gain is godliness, withdraw thyself, it's like it's home for you. Withdraw yourself, you repent inwardly when you see that that's what you believe.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, I know that's true, but to have it emotionally, explode in you. That it's personal. Forget about looking outward. There's plenty of that.
All right, let's go back to Luke, verse 29.
New Yorker magazine has some great cartoons.
Yeah.
One of the issues recently, I think it wasn't the most recent one, 1 or 2 ago, there was a cartoon of God standing on a cloud with a couple of angels around him, with his hands folded, standing in this cloud looking down on the planet Earth, and God says, I hate my fans.
I hate my fans?
Fans.
All right, verse 29. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. Now, remember we talked about before, but the word that's used in the other descriptions of this is metamorpho, which is being transfigured. It's the word is, it's, there's nothing that we can see in our lifetime except maybe the butterfly that really defines what transfiguration means. And so, but again, Luke talked about it without using the word. You remember he said his fashion was altered from one state of being to another. So he said the same thing, but he didn't use metamorpho. All right. And we studied all different places where that altered was used, heteros. But his raiment, it just means any apparel. It's hematimos. And white is leucos. And it means brilliant, dazzling. And glistering, I didn't even know it was a word. But it means to send forth flashes of light as lightning. And so this was a biggie. So let's go to Ezekiel 1.
One just misspelled.
Huh?
They didn't just misspell.
No,
glistening.
It's glistering is another word. Glistening means, you know, just the glistering means these boom flashes of light. All right, Ezekiel 1. And again, it's interesting, at least in what I'm aware of, nobody studied Ezekiel 1, which is a reading for Pentecost. And I had planned to, but to do it up there, but...
Where did we go just now?
Ezekiel 1.
That sounded stupid if you didn't.
What? Well, I just said that we are going to Ezekiel 1 and we didn't read it at Pentecost, so I thought you'd remember that Ezekiel 1 was read at Pentecost.
Yeah, I know.
All right, now remember this thing, the wheel within the wheels and the whole eyes, and they're always going, and it's always going in one direction, and it's a description of his true body. There isn't any variance or shadows or turning. It's his true, the body of Christ is going in one direction only. And, it has to be seen that way, otherwise you'll think there's all kinds of different things that God is doing. So we're just going to look at a couple of verses. And I looked, in verse 4, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and the midst thereof as the color amber out of the midst of the fire. Now the brightness is if you're translating that to Greek, it would be this word glistering, or sending forth as lightning. The same was in verse 7. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And sparkled again is they were sending forth light, like if you were had burnished brass with light reflecting from it. Now we don't see that. We think. We hear, there's books written about this. Wheel within a wheel is a helicopter. You know, that's one of the late great planet Earth. So that's what they described. And Gog and Magog were Russia. I mean, all kinds of weird crap. But anyhow, this is a description of the body of Christ if we could really see it.
They would do an ad on TV that was about a watch. This watch, I think it's a watch, and it's very similar. It's all these gears meshing with each other in different sizes and shapes. And that's a good picture of that.
And again, let's go to, well, this is a your, the challenge. Go find Nahum.
Jonah, Micah, and Nahum.
You're probably right.
Yep.
And then Habakkuk. That's pretty good. I'm impressed.
You're easily used. How's the rest of
it? All right. Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery, and prey departeth not. The noise of a whip, and the noise of the rattling of the wheels, and of the prancing horses, and of the jumping chariots. This is a description of Nineveh, by the way. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear. And there is a multitude slain. And the word glittering there is the same. If it was translated into English, it would be glistering. And the spear was reflecting the bright light all over wherever it went. So anyway, I just thought that'd be interesting. Let's go back to Luke. So we're going to look at the word transfigured and the word that's used when you're not transfigured. Okay, we're going to just go to these different places. We read it in Matthew. We don't have to go there, but just to remember, it's the word transfigured, and it's translated as transfigured in Matthew and Mark. But in the others, it just says changed. And the word transfigured is metamorpho. And then in Romans, let's go to Romans 12 and see how it's translated there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the word for metamorpho there is the word transformed. So again, this mystery of transfiguration, as we've talked about, there is no other purpose that you have as a member of the body of Christ other than to be transfigured. There's nothing else for you to be concerned with. It's the biggest thing there is. Because in doing so, you are presenting your body the living sacrifice, which is the highest service that there can be. It's the highest, and again, remember the word of service is laity, and it means the service of the high priest inside the Holy of Holies. And remember, you as the temple are now not the Hieron, which is the temple complex. You're the Naos, which is the holy place in the Holy of Holies. And so within you are all the things that were in the holy place. There's the seven candlesticks. There's the altar of showbread. There's the veil. There's the Holy of Holies, with the Ark of the Covenant, and the wings of the cherubim. All that that's all was a metaphor for that which is the true you within you. But the slightest attempt to use your mind to understand causes that mystery to take the lowest seat. And really, it's you put them back into prison within you. Understand?
This is so the way God works. It's like transfiguration is achieved not through filling, but emptying.
Amen.
And human being's nature is, oh, this is great, I want to be transfigured.
Yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see that in a minute.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 3. It's used again. But if this can be the predicate of your life, and it, which it can't be without the cross, without your death, then life becomes simple and a joy. If it's not, then everything's a struggle. All right, 2 Corinthians 3.
So there's no contentment.
This is comparing the ministry of the ministrations of Moses versus Christ. In verse 12, Second Corinthians chapter 3. Seeing then that we have such hope, in verse 12, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, or the Torah, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now that Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed or transfigured into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So it has nothing to do with the outward, what the way things look. It has to do only with seeing through everything. Amen? All right, there's one more, Philippians 3.
I was thinking about that place you just described, like seeing through and no judgment. If you're seeing through and judging, you're just...
Okay. Philippians 3. Verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetites or their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind or give breath to earthly things. Now, contrast, for our conversation or manner of life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And again, this every aspect of this requires no effort on your part. The only thing that it requires is an effort. Again, as we've said many times, it takes no effort to walk away from a dump. Well, when you see who you are, it takes no effort to leave yourself behind. Now let's look at it when people do this or try to do this themselves. And let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. start in verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Serpent beguiled, mind corrupted. If you know no other scripture, know that one. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received. Now, the way it sounds like, how can you receive it if you didn't receive it? Well, one is the reception of this mystery of God on Pentecost that you now received here. You understand? And then you, instead, if you receive another spirit that you didn't receive, or another gospel that you didn't receive, then you are corrupted. Your minds have been corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Do you understand that? You might well bear with me, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you, I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, that word for transformed is metaschematizo, instead of metamorpho. And it means they have transformed themselves by their mind. In other words, they are... It says you shall smile, so you smile. It says you try to smile. It says whatever. It's all you're trying to do it instead of the automatic. You're trying to be instead of being. And the minute you try to be, then you are metaschematizo, which is you're playing a role. You're acting. It's all will worship instead of the real thing. So one is metamorpho. It's the same process by which a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. There's no effort. One is doing it by the agency of their mind. It doesn't get any bigger than this.
And the fearful thing is, it sounds like it works. You can transform yourself to appear as if you have been transformed.
Yes, you know tricks to move people.
Or just you have what looks like the characteristics of Christ. Whether it's tricks or not, just your very smiling face or whatever people like to think Jesus is about.
But you know the difference? The bottom line is be instead of trying to be. That's what everything in the gospel is about. Because once you try to be something, then you have crucified the Son of God afresh. And you have not emptied yourself. Now this is, you can't have a governor. Everybody understand? One is acting, the other is reality. One may be able to duplicate different, or appear to duplicate different fruit of the Spirit. But for them, it's fruits of the Spirit. Because they can act out of a few of them. But the fruit of the Spirit is a singular, not fruits. That's why God sees only what goes on inside you. He doesn't see the outward. Doesn't care how many times you've walked the aisle. Doesn't care how many times you've said you're sorry. Because it has nothing to do with you anymore. It is Christ in you, the only hope of glory. And you've been trying to transform yourself into an angel of light. Can't happen. Wow. You're doing it, Gary.
Well, this is real clear. It's that you live your life as unto yourself or unto the image you have of Christ.
Oh, the image the Bible teaches you. Doesn't matter.
You can get all the words you need out of the book, or you live it as unto what you think other people think you should be. So you have no prophecy and you know spontaneity, no being. Unless you're living your life with God and you're taking your lumps, whatever stupid thing you might say or do or be, you're not the judge of your own self, and nobody else is either. It's like Paul said, you know, it's a small thing that I can judge of you.
Well, this is, hear me, the propensity to act is as automatic in the human race as anything else is breathing. The propensity to ape somebody, because you've been doing it your whole life. The only thing anybody was to mock or model themselves after with Paul was his faith. Be followers together with me and mark them which walk as we do as an example. But not be careful. Don't follow the ones that have transformed themselves. Don't follow the ones whose God is their appetite, who mind earthly things. What does it mean to mind earthly things?
Breathe life
Right. You're the only one that gives them life. You give breath to. That's why the word love, as in as a verb, is agapeo, not agape. And agapeo just means give breath to. If you love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Be careful. Again, whatsoever is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. If what you esteem or what you like is the same as what they like, boom. It's the evidence. It's not an abomination or the abomination. It is just abomination. Now, abomination is the definition, and the word means that the evil one has set himself up in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. The man of sin, the son of perdition, is trying to act like a Christian. Or not, or just trying to, just keeps his mouth shut. Little understanding? Above all things, my brethren, I would that you prophesy. Because by prophesying, what's inside you will be revealed. Doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. That's not your business. You've been bought with a price. Doesn't matter how sincere you are. That's meaningless. Did I ever tell you what sincerity was?
No. Yes.
Take it, big guy.